Hey, hey, it's you, Linda Renee, aka Docu Rock, and this is another episode of Heal on Purpose with Docu Rock. And so this podcast is affiliated with the nonprofit Heal on Purpose, Inc., an organization committed to researching and providing education on the impact of sexual trauma in and on the Black community, while also creating resources to aid in collective and individual healing. Why? Because it's necessary. And on this podcast, we're going to be talking about all the different ways our trauma can be impacting our right now reality. And this goes for our relationship with ourselves, with others, with abundance, with our sexuality, with all of the things. We're going to talk about it and bring some light to it so that once conscious, we can choose. And if we choose to do the work, then Heal on Purpose is the place to be. You ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, it's your Linda Renee, and we are back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. All right, we are here for another day of Black Sexual Assault Awareness Week. Y'all are here with the host of Heal on Purpose with Docu Rock, and it's day 4. If y'all been missing out, I strongly and highly suggest y'all go and run it back and get these replays of these conversations here and on the Instagram page, healonpurpose.inc, where we have been going live every single night at 6:30 p.m. Central. We're going to do the same thing tonight. So what are we going to be talking about tonight? So this evening's conversation is going to highlight the experience of Black girls. And what I want to focus on is this idea that Black girls be acting too grown too soon, that they fast, quote unquote, right? Because they out here and they all up under these men and they got these boys sniffing around them and they doing all these things. However, I would like us to lean into and consider who's protecting these girls, right? They're acting too grown too soon, but no one is really looking at the fact that a lot of these girls have been groomed, and sometimes by the very people in their household. Oh, yes, we're going to talk about it. Some of these girls have been groomed by the people within their households, whether or not it's mama, daddy, auntie, uncle, whatever, based off the language and the behavior that they've seen and they've also been exposed to, that they've received. And it really needs to be talked about. As a Black woman who has been a Black girl, this was something I heard a lot growing up in the 80s, how these girls was too fast. And considering my own lived experience, which I talked about a little bit on the live last night, how I had my first sexual experience at age 13 and how traumatic that was. And I talked about how a lot of 80s babies, we were just outside. There was very little supervision. We were just outside. And this isn't to throw anybody under the bus, you know, my parents' generation or anything. It just kind of was what it was. However, there's judgment without the accountability and the recognition that there was also a lack of protection, a lack of supervision. So there's this expectation that especially Black girls are supposed to behave in ways that they haven't been taught and have not been modeled. So I just want us to highlight that experience, because for a lot of us, we might also have young girls who are in our vicinity, who's in our community, who might be in our family. And I'm looking at whether or not this is a program we are still perpetuating within a community, because Heal on Purpose is all about us healing within our own community. We're not looking for a savior to come in and help fucking save us, that we are going to be accountable and we are going to be responsible for the healing within our own community by making sure that we are the ones holding self and others accountable. Like people don't, I don't keep using that word accountable, accountability. And a lot of people are afraid of it. A lot of people shy away from it, because when we are holding self and community accountable, that means we are also mindful of the pain that we cause and perpetuate. This isn't to minimize that a lot of us have also experienced trauma, have been on the receiving end of trauma. We don't minimize that. We also take ownership of the part we plays in the propagating of the stigmas and the stereotypes within our own community. We are putting these Black girls in this limelight or in this light period where they are too sexual, they hoes, they thoughts, you know, they this, they're that, whatever language we want to use, as the language has changed since slavery, right? Jezebels and, you know, sapphires and all of this. And now we are calling these young girls this, that, and the other. And then we look at culture. Well, look at how these girls, these rappers, and how all these people acting, they doing this, they doing that. At the end of the day, whatever the media is pushing or whomever is highlighted in the media does not need to be what we are looking towards as the lens by which we're judging the shorties in our own community. Your cousin and your niece or your daughter may or may not emulate them, may or may not do the things that they do. However, using those, how do I want to put it? Those examples as reasons to judge the shorties in your community, these Black girls in your community, like where they do that at and how is that productive, right? This isn't an episode about the young women in the media. I'm talking about Black girls in our community who are being abused by people who have groomed them. And instead of us coming to their rescue, we're coming with judgment. Oh, look at her. Look at her. She's jumping in the car with Mr. Willie Johnson. She getting all this. Ooh, I said that name. I'm not talking about anybody specific. This is a generic ass name that just rolled off the tongue. So don't take it as a personal indicator of any person in life. Okay. Goddamn. I might have to edit that out. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we see these things happening. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, there were so many girls in high school that had older 20-some-year-old boyfriends, 30-year-old boyfriends, and we're seeing these girls coming. They Gucci down to the socks. They got new Coach purses and, you know, Tommy Hilfiger fits, and everybody's seeing this, but no one's having a conversation about it. I did a poem on my Yolinda Renee page, and I was talking about, right, people got a lot of things to say, and there's a lot of judgment, but you see that these girls are moving in a certain way, but there's no question. And you know why? Because sometimes these same people who are judging, but who are not attempting to stop it, might be benefiting. Oh, so when Mr. Johnson break you off some change, you bring it home to the crib and you paying rent, you buying groceries, you're paying utilities. So there are so many different ways I can go with this conversation. But my thing is, how about a little less judgment and a little bit more protection, conversation, communication, so that we can help these girls better protect themselves when they are out here with a lot of wolves? Because a lot of these girls think they know what it is. This a come up. You know what I mean? I got them buy me these new flip flops, these Coach flip flops, and I'm coming up and I got some money in my pocket. However, not knowing that they are being manipulated, they're being used, and it is skewing their idea of connection and relationship, because these men are using them, and not just men. Let me make it 100%. You know, let me keep it a buck. It's not just men. However, that's what we see, and that is what is highlighted. And so as I'm using men as the example, please understand that some of these young girls are getting groomed by women, non-binary folks, all of the things. However, the majority tends to be that these teen girls are being manipulated and used by older men. Okay, so that's what we'll focus on. But this does not negate that there are others who also do this, okay? However, you see in this, and they think they're coming up, but what this also does is skew a Black girl's relationship or thought process when it comes to Black men. So if we have these grown men using these girls and they breaking them off some change, and then there's this perception that men are good for what? For some money. And that only thing I need to bring to the table, sounds familiar? is a nice little tight ass, you know, some titties. I'm cute in the face. Face card don't decline, right? Okay. And now you're getting all these things from this man. So now this interaction is what? Transactional. And now we're seeing in the dating pool, everybody got something to say. It's so negative. It's peeing and poop in the pool. And it's so ghetto and all of these things. But are we taking a step back? And are we looking at what could be creating this disconnect and this dysfunction between Black men and Black women? Are we looking at what we've been taught? If we go back to ankle high age, if we go back to our, what's the word I'm looking? Informative, no, formative, there you go. Our formative years, what were we being taught? What did we see? What was the messaging from inside the house, from school, from the community, from the music, hell, even from church? What were we being taught? And if we were taught that relationships are transactional, then what is the expectation that now that these folks are of age, or for some of us who grew up, got married early, and we divorced, and now we're single now, and we're looking at the scene, and everything is so jaded, people are so transactional, and we're not understanding what the problem is. We need to take a step back, or I would invite us to take a step back and really do some soul searching. How can I be accountable? What part could I potentially be playing in this, and where did that come from? Where does it stem from? We talked about boys on Tuesday and how a lot of them were introduced to sex young. Oh, let me initiate this boy into manhood by breaking him off a little cooch. You know, I'm gonna take him to the strip club, or I'm gonna bring a stripper to the crib and let him get topped off real quick so they know what it means to be a man. So we got little boys being introduced to sex via a route to manhood. And then we have little girls getting used and abused and manipulated by getting a purse and some shoes and a little money for their pocket, their hair and nails done in order to get access to their body. So are we seeing a pattern here? There is a history of our relationships being transactional. Now, does this account for everything? Of course not. I am highlighting this particular pattern in our community. If we take it all the way back, you know, which I tend to do, to slavery, what was the relationship dynamics then? How were Black girls treated? Black girls were treated as a commodity. They were used to be the gateway for a product, i.e. their offspring. And I just want us to think about that. How do we think that is impacting us long term? How do we think that a history of a lack of body autonomy, or your body being a commodity, your body being a product, your body being transactional, and we're still seeing your body being used transactionally, I will give you this for that. Back then, I might let you live because you are valuable in that you produce a product. Now you're still producing the product from between your legs. Now it's sexual pleasure. And for that, you get a purse and some shoes. You get a little money. You think you're coming up. You're a boss bitch. You this, that, and the other. And what you are being taught is that what you bring to the table, what is of value, is what's between your legs. And then when we get to the point where we actually want to have connection, when we actually want to be in relationship with someone, we're not understanding. When I say we, I'm talking about collectively, if it doesn't fit, right? But now we're not sure how to show up and be in connection. What do I bring of value other than what's between my legs? How can I be this helpmeet? And then for the boy who was taught that, oh, you were used as a way to be initiated into malehood, into manhood, I never was taught how to cherish you or treat you like you are of value. And now you have these two individuals trying to come together and have a healthy relationship. Where they do that at? How? I'm just asking. So make sure you tap in later on today. We're going to have this conversation. My girl, Lynn Meyer, is going to jump on the proverbial mic with me as we go live at 6:30 p.m. on the YolindaRenee.phd page on Instagram, and we are going to continue to have this conversation. This is what it's all about. Black Sexual Assault Awareness Week is about highlighting the lived experience of Black people with a history of sexual trauma so that we can begin to shatter. I struggle saying that word, y'all. Why did I make that part of the theme? I can't say it. Shatter the shame and breaking the silence. Because when we are allow ourselves, when we are courageous enough, when we are brave enough to break our silence, to have these conversations, to say, yes, you know, I have experienced some of those things. It has impacted me this way. Then we can begin to shatter the shame that has kept us silent and in silos. We cannot heal by ourselves. It is not meant. Shout out to our collective mentor, Bell Hooks. In the meantime, y'all check us out tonight. This has been another episode, bonus episode of the Heal on Purpose with Doc Urock podcast. I'll see y'all later. This is Doc Urock. I'm out. Peace. Hey, that has been another episode, bonus episode of Heal on Purpose with Doc Urock. And look, y'all, I am super excited. We are on day 4. We're really doing this. This is really the first Black Sexual Assault Awareness Week ever. And we're doing it. And we are having a conversation. And people are showing up. People are being positively impacted. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for all of the support. For those who catch these podcasts, who catch the replays, who see the lives, just let me know. Let me know your thoughts, how you would want to see this evolve over time, because we're just getting started. I mean, that just, it is what it is. We are just getting started. I'm already starting to think about the next event, but let me bring it back to the present. Tonight, 6:30 p.m., we are going live with Lynn Meyer. Make sure you pull up, you tap in, and you stay tuned for all the things that will be happening throughout this month and throughout the year. I see y'all on the flip, and around here, we do what? We heal on purpose. This is Doc Urock, and I'm out.